Hello, and welcome to my podcast. This is an audio version of my videos, available to make listening to stuff in the background easier than YouTube makes it. This is part of a series of guest appearances, kindly arranged by Paul of the YouTube channel Paulogia, in order to cover for me while I take some time off to recover from my recent loss. Many thanks go out to everyone involved. Please enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Viced Rhino's channel. Gallus Engineer here. Today, we are going to be investigating the question, is intelligent design religious or scientific? From Calvin Smith at Answers in Genesis, Canada. Luckily for us, though, this question has already been answered in the American court system. In the Kitzmiller versus Dover trial, U.S. District Judge John E. Jones III came to the conclusion that intelligent design was a religious view and not a scientific idea. In that same trial, you had several experts from both a religious and scientific point of view. John Haught, a Catholic theologian at Georgetown University, said, "In my view, the way in which intelligent design is used in the discourse that's in dispute. It does entail an essentially biblical and specifically Christian view of the world." Another expert, a Brown University biology professor, Kenneth Miller, said, "Intelligent design is not a testable theory, and as such is not generally accepted by the scientific community." This was not the only case to come to this conclusion either. Both cases of McLean v. Arkansas of Board of Education and Edwards v. Aguillard had similar conclusions. In McLean v. Arkansas Board of Education, they concluded that creation science did not qualify as a scientific theory, while Edwards v. Aguillard ruled that laws forcing teachers to include both creation science and evolution was unconstitutional due to the religious nature of creation science. So, right off the bat, this video has a very steep uphill battle. But let's see what they got.
Now, today's question is the idea of intelligent design religious?
Besides the obvious legal conclusions of this question, I think it's fairly obvious to anyone not looking to push their creationist mindset into the realm of science that it's definitely a religious idea. Even technically speaking, it's a religious idea. Anything that is religious either relates to or is a belief in a religion. A religion is defined as the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. Most of the time when someone is discussing creationism with me, it is to convince me to believe in and worship their god. They use general proofs for a deity as a gateway to get you to accept and worship their deity. Science cannot describe such a being because that being is said to exist outside of space and time. Science can only describe things that exist within our reality. So, it makes no sense to call intelligent design scientific.
Well, the concept of intelligent design is a belief in a designer in nature, in the laws of science, and of some of the biological systems we see in creatures today being created.
The fact that he thinks these creatures and biological systems are being created is begging the question. This highlights the presuppositional nature of intelligent design or creation science. They're literally the same thing. It seems like he's also touching on the teleological argument by saying that things in nature are designed. Our brains seek patterns even when there is no pattern to be seen. That's why you see a face on the ass end of a helicopter. It's called pareidolia. Creationists don't seem to be able to distinguish between objects that are actually designed and undesigned objects. I have yet to hear a creationist distinguish between those two categories.
And while Christian creationists, of course, admit the Bible is why we believe in a designer or a creator God, not all ID believers do. So even though many ID believers support evolution, many of them say that, well, evolution couldn't have caused some of the complex design found in some of the living things we see.
I do agree that not all creationists think that the biblical God is the God that created everything. There are plenty of Muslim intelligent design proponents, so it's not that Christianity is the only religion that has a creation mindset, but it's still religious in nature. The fact that you require this designer in the first place makes the idea religious. That's one reason why all three court cases concluded that ID, or creation science, is religiously affiliated. I hope he gets into some of these complex structures that couldn't have formed naturally on their own. Every single claim similar to this has been debunked, so maybe they have a new structure that definitely proves their point. I highly doubt it, but let's give them a chance, huh?
See, they argue that irreducible complexity and information theory, and maybe just old plain old common sense, point to the idea that someone must have designed at least certain features in plants, animals, and people on Earth. Of course, they don't say who did it.
Well, irreducible complexity was created by creationists that had no idea what they were talking about. One of the most common examples they use is the bacterium flagellum. They claim it's irreducibly complex, but we have been able to map the evolutionary lineage of the flagellum. In fact, we have been able to remove certain parts of the flagellum and it doesn't go away. The only effect we see is a reduction in mobility. The flagellum is still there, so it doesn't seem irreducibly complex. This is only one example they often use, but the same can be said about their other examples. Information theory is kind of a funny thing to bring up here because creationists are notoriously bad at defining what information even is. They usually leave it defined ambiguously, so it could mean nearly anything. Finally, the notion that common sense points you in the direction of a designer is just laughable. People have these common sense notions all the time, and most of the time they are wrong. The problem with common sense is that you only have information that you already know or think you know. What seems like common sense to you is nonsensical to someone with more information or a different perspective. Basically, common sense is very subjective and shouldn't be instantly trusted. The fact that this is one of the big three reasons why creation is true should be a red flag to everyone.
And because the story of evolution is making less and less sense all the time, the ID movement is growing rapidly worldwide. Many PhD scientists have stood up and said, look, they no longer believe in what we call the story. They call the theory of evolution.
Ha! Citation fucking needed on this claim. There are creation scientists that say this, but he is making it seem like it's a trend that scientists all over the world are turning to creationism. Until he can produce some kind of meta-analysis on the opinions of PhD scientists, I'm gonna have to just discard this claim as any ad hoc statement should be. Calling evolution a story highlights the fact that since they got their asses handed to them in the courts, they've turned into sore losers. This also exposes how they attempt to turn criticisms against creationist ideas into attacks on the evolutionary theory. Essentially, it's the "no you" rebuttal you find on playgrounds and the internet.
And the reason we don't call it a theory is because we don't actually think it meets the scientific criteria to be called a scientific theory, but anyway, I digress. You know, now evolutionists kick back. They say, well, ID's religious and it's not real science. But is that true?
Yes, it is true. There have been at least three court cases in America over this question. It's been proven to be religious and not science. I also have to wonder what he thinks the criteria for a scientific theory is. Evolutionary theory is a scientific theory, and it definitely meets all the requirements. It is substantiated with evidence, it's explanatory, it's predictive, and it's testable. Those are all things that creationism is not. It has no evidence, and it is not explanatory. It can't be used to make predictions and is not testable. So I don't know what he thinks is the criteria, but it seems like he's got a backwards view of what the criteria is.
Can scientists separate themselves from arguments of design and still function scientifically? Let's look at an example. Pretend an anthropologist discovers some rubble inside a cave. Looking closer, he notices a sharp piece of flint, you know, kind of tapered to a point, and he's intrigued, and he explores further, and he finds a ring of stones with some bones inside, charred bones, and several other stones like the first pointy one, and some paintings of people hunting on the wall. Finally, he finds pieces of animal skins and, you know, some symbols scrawled onto it. Now, everything appears to have been undisturbed for a long period of time. So what are his thoughts, perhaps?
Well, they probably thought some primitive intelligent organism lived in that area. Most likely a primitive human group, considering no other organism has attained that level of sophistication with tools and such. Probably a hunter-gatherer group of humans, which puts them at about 11,000 to 12,000 years ago. They may have written on animal skins, but I'm kind of surprised that the animal skins lasted this long. I think the answer he wants is just an intelligent agent designing these items. That's the thing, though. They can't distinguish distinguish between designed and undesigned objects. To them, everything is designed and nothing is undesigned.
Perhaps in his evolutionary thinking, he might come to the conclusion that, well, long ago, hominids used this cave for refuge. They used flint for weapons, and they must have been intelligent because they've recorded hunting expeditions on the walls. And
to whom it may concern, copyright infringement is punishable by state and federal law.
Although he doesn't know what the symbols might mean on the animal skins, he might conclude that, well, that was a written language. And, you know, many people would agree that these are logical ideas based on the scientific evidence that was found. But if he was asked to give a reason for faith in those beliefs, he might be forced to an uncomfortable admission: intelligent design.
I feel like this is forcing faith into the conversation. There is no faith in the physical evidence and established facts used to come to the conclusion that this was the remnants of a hunter-gatherer group. They have to insert faith into this to try and force this conclusion into the religious realm. It's totally ridiculous.
The rubble inside the cave was the first clue. Intelligent creatures use caves as shelter. The anthropologist was looking for signs of intelligence. The spearhead or the arrowhead might be the second. Flint doesn't usually shape itself into a triangular shape with sharp point, but smart people that know how to hunt do. And even if the one piece of flint just happened to be shaped into random forces over time, the discovery of the other ones clinched it, right?
So basically, you're claiming that you would have to accept intelligent design in order to acknowledge anything that is obviously designed and not naturally developed. They are obfuscating what intelligent design means in order to argue that it is scientific. That's really disingenuous. We all understand that intelligent design is about a deity that created everything, not some intelligent humans that designed some things.
Common sense says it's unreasonable to think that a large grouping of stones arranged in such a specific shape just happened to be randomly generated. What about the other circle of stones, right? And the preparation of the pigments for the paintings, or the representation of these animals and people in the drawings, and especially thoughts that these people may have developed a language, all clear indications of intelligent design. So, is the idea of intelligent design itself religious? No.
Oh yes, intelligent design is scientific if you obfuscate what you mean by intelligent design. It's scientific if you remove all indications of this supernatural creator that created everything. If you narrow it down to common things that can be designed by humans, which, by the way, is a natural explanation, they are essentially using a fallacy of equivocation in order to make their argument. Intelligent design is specifically about a supernatural deity creating everything. And recontextualizing this phrase to remove this supernatural deity means you're talking about something entirely different. This is not an honest way to make your point.
Conclusions you can make about it because of the evidence we see, however, do contain religious connotations. And that's what evolutionists don't like because of the obvious conclusions. Design implies a designer. Because design implies a designer, evolutionists want to limit the concept of intelligent design to areas that don't promote a godlike figure.
Oh, so we are limiting the definition of intelligent design to the definition that y'all gave it? And that's a bad thing that we did, huh? It seems like y'all are the ones that defined it as a supernatural deity that created everything. We are only operating within the boundaries that y'all have set. So if you want to blame anyone, blame yourselves. Nobody has ever denied that people have designed things, so evil evolutionists have never limited intelligent design. Creationists have painted themselves into a corner and are now blaming others for putting them there.
For example, the anthropologist above may have no problem with the concept that man designed the arrowheads that were found, but the concept that a creator designed mankind itself, well, that crosses the line.
Yes, because it's not scientific, and anthropologists are scientists. There is no evidence substantiating the idea that a deity created everything. In fact, all the evidence points away from this concept. This idea isn't testable in any kind of way. It doesn't explain anything because God did it isn't an explanation. There is no predictive utility in it because everything is designed in that view and it's specifically designed to please God for some reason. That's not predictive. That's substituting reality with what you want to be true. None of this should be convincing to a scientist.
Implying there may be someone we owe our existence to means that we may be held accountable for our actions, and so the question of morality is introduced. So design itself isn't the problem. Where it leads to is the problem.
And there's the admission that it's not just about trying to explain what we observe in reality. Creationism, whether it's packaged as intelligent design or not, always leads to being held accountable to this deity. That's what makes it religious. So he's basically admitting that it's religious, but also not religious at the same time. Another thing that makes it religious is the dogmatic adherence to the position. Regularly, you have creationists that outright reject new information in order to hold on to their creationist ideals. This is not indicative of a scientific idea. Scientific ideas can be changed with new information. Religious ideas? Not so much.
ID will continue to plague evolutionists because it's an important part of scientific investigation. Think about it. How would a forensic scientist operate without it? So, is the concept or ID of intelligence design religious? No.
ID doesn't plague evolutionary scientists. It shouldn't, because the only people that are pushing it are apologists. Even if they have a PhD in a scientific field of study, if they are pushing creationism in whatever form, they are being apologists and not scientists. Intelligent design, as it's defined by ID proponents, is not scientific and is definitely a religious point of view. Three different court cases also came to this conclusion, and most scientists accept evolutionary theory as the best explanation for the diversity of life. Anyone that says otherwise is pushing a religious agenda.
But by saying you will accept design in one instance and not in another because of your philosophical beliefs is actually quite religious.
There is a key difference between accepting design in the case of arrowheads and just everything being designed by a supernatural deity. And that difference would be evidence. We have evidence for the design of arrowheads, and we don't have evidence that everything was designed by a deity. I also like how he admits to religious people cherry-picking information that they agree with. Well, that's going to be it for his video today. I know Vice Rhino loves to do the comments at the end of his video, so KC found this nice comment on one of Vice's recent videos. This comes from That Guy. That Guy says, "I have nothing but superficial comments. Without the bow tie, you would just be a talking rhino. With the bow tie, you're a naked talking rhino. Please put some shorts on." And also, that apologist voice is really very annoying. It's not his fault, but when you say really stupid things very confidently in an annoying voice, it's really hard to deal with. I'm not sure if Vice would be with me on this, but I regularly say fuck pants, so that would include shorts. I don't recommend that Vice put on shorts, and Vice just records audio, so he could do it in just a bow tie if he wanted to. And I understand about the annoying voice thing, but I try to look past the superficial stuff with somebody's video, and I try to focus on their content, because regardless of what they sound like or look like or anything like that, if they have bad arguments, then they have bad arguments. Thanks, That Guy, for leaving this comment. And for everybody else watching, why don't you go down below and leave a comment yourselves? You may appear in one of Vice's videos in the future. And while you're down there, why don't you smash that like button and subscribe if you like Vice Rhino's content. We still have a couple of weeks left on Vice Rhino's third annual holiday fundraiser for Project Share. Currently, it's right around $30,000, but we still have a couple of weeks to go. So please donate in honor of Mrs. Rhino. If you'd like to be way more interesting and engaging than the Bible, almost by default, you can join us on Patreon for as little as a dollar per week over at patreon.com/Vice Rhino. If you feel so inclined, you can also support the channel through direct donation or Vice Rhino's Amazon wishlist. Links to social media and all the ways to support Vice Rhino's channel and to the other projects like his podcast with his daughter can be found at links.vicerhino.com. And if for whatever reason you want to send Vice Rhino some stuff, his P.O. Box address is in the description. Don't forget to stand up and use your voice. Or wait, what does Vice Rhino say? See you next time!